It is my distinct privilege and pleasure to introduce Dr. Kathy Cook. She is the founder of Celebrate Kids. She's spoken thousands of parents, teachers, and children over 25 countries through keynote messages, seminars, chapels, pro-life fundraising banquets, and other events. She regularly speaks at CareNet, Summit Ministries, and the Colson Center, and teach them diligently. Kirk Cameron chose her as an expert in two recent documentaries, and she is also a popular guest of Focus on the Family Radio and other radio talk shows and podcasts. She also has her own podcast, so look up Celebrate Kids wherever you listen to podcasts. She is the author of 7 books through Moody Publishers, my alma mater, and she is also a PhD earner in reading and educational psychology through Purdue. So go Boilermakers. Final 4 appearance. There you go.
I know I'm in Michigan. That was really risky of you.
It's okay. We've got some in the room. And served as an associate professor, school board member, teacher, coach, all before founding her ministry. Her love for Jesus that she's had for many years, and her faith and desire to serve and glorify God is the foundation of her ministry. We heard you, a couple of us in this room, heard you a couple years ago at the symposium, the Christian symposium.
Right.
And I don't want to, put too much weight on you, but top 3 speakers I've ever heard in my entire
please.
Life.
Please. Wow. So.
And I mean that.
I received that. That's really kind. And now you just set me up. So let's see if they agree with you at the end.
Please welcome, give a warm Genesis welcome to Dr. Kathy Cook.
I am. That is really generous. You have clapped by faith. You have faith here. That's really good. I'm so glad to be here. And seriously, thank you. I've already had a delightful time. And I am excited about talking with you both this morning, and I hope you're going to come back tonight, because this is important that we figure out identity, right? How many of you wonder who you are? Are there any adults in the room thinking, I would like some help, Kathy? I mean, I think it's confusing, this world in which we live. So let's talk about who we are and why we are the who we are. And how many of you are parents? Raise your hands. All right, fabulous. How many of you are grandparents? How many of you work with kids for fun? How many of you work with kids and get paid? And it's fun, I hope. If not, why are you working there? We'll talk later. And I pray that this is a blessing. Here we go. So the first core need that you have is for security. We are going to talk today about how to build a healthy identity. Watch this. The first need that you have, and the first need that your children and your grandchildren and anybody that you ever know needs, is a need for security. And you guys, security is met in who can I trust? Security cannot be met in things because things fade away. Amen? Have you all read that in the Holy, Accurate, Transforming Word of God? We cannot place our security in things because things don't last. But we live in a world that likes to place security in things. I'm popular. I'm beautiful. I've earned good grades today. I live on that street. Where do you live? Security, what can I trust, will kill you. But security placed in people who are worthy of your trust will change you. And when you are the people who children can trust, everything changes for them. Security, who can I trust, will lead me to identity. Who am I? How many of you would agree with me that we have an identity crisis in our culture? Yeah? You know why we have an identity crisis? Because we have a security crisis. Because if children and preteens and teens and young adults and all of you of any age, if you don't know who you can trust, you will go wherever the wind blows you. Today I'm this, but tomorrow I might be that. Today I'm this, but I listened to a song and it said that my gender or my race or my culture or my age is this. So maybe that is right. And maybe the other person who told me something about myself is wrong. Security, who can I trust, will lead me to identity. Who am I? Not who was I. Don't live in the past. Leave it where it belongs. Amen? I was clumsy as a kid. It's no longer on my list. The reason that that's really important is that identity controls behavior. Say that out loud. Who I think I am is who I will be. Identity controls behavior. We cannot live in the past. The past is in the past. It may influence you, but it ought not control you. And we have to be very careful with our children that we don't keep throwing in their faces the yesterdays. Because yesterday is yesterday. And today is today. Security, who can I trust? Identity, who am I? Belonging, who wants me? Does anybody know that I'm alive? Who wants me? We all have a need to be wanted. We sang about love today. It's a crucial concept. Our children need to be wanted, and I guarantee you that if they don't know who they are, they will not know who wants them. And if they don't have security, they don't know who they are, they won't know who will want them. Oh, and it's so messy. And we have to know who wants us because our purpose is to leave the world a better place. Why am I alive? Why did God bother making me for such a time as this? Do I matter? And you might not ask that out loud, but you're asking it in your behavior. And your children and grandchildren and students are asking it in their choices. Why am I alive? I love to tell people you're alive to leave the world a better place. You could have said amen. Norm, are they allowed to speak? Have you shut them down? I mean, I can tell you're listening. There's energy here, but play with me here. Purpose, why am I alive? Not to be an idiot and not to be a jerk and, you know, not to disrespect a mother. And no, we're alive to leave the world a better place. Thank you. Okay, that was a test. I like you right here. There'll be more to it. I'm giving you an overview and then I'm going to come back and unpack it even more. But purpose, why am I alive? We're alive to serve people. We're alive to love people. No people, no reason to live. The leading cause of suicide is a lack of purpose, not a lack of belonging. Belonging can cause suicidal ideology, bullying and isolation and loneliness are painful things. And yet, according to research and interviewing people, etc., it's a lack of purpose that causes us to just want to roll over. Why am I alive? And then that leads us to competence. What do I do well? All of you and every child you'll ever know has a need built into them by God in their DNA to be able to be well and do well, not perfection. Perfection is Jesus. It has been done by him. And if any of us are striving for perfection, that is the most dangerous expectation for you because you will decide you don't need a Savior, that you think you can save yourself. And I will say to all of you that I used to be like that. I was raised in church. I was a good girl. And then I met Jesus, and he changed me. If you are striving for perfection, you won't end up in the perfect place, which would be heaven, with the one who is. His name is Jesus. Thank you. We need to strive for excellence. I like to say that excellence is the journey. Perfection is the destination. You have a need built into you, in your DNA, by God, at the point of creation, for these five needs to be met. And why? Because they draw us to him. Security, who can I trust? God, who created me when he didn't have to, but he wanted people, and he wanted me. And I can trust Jesus, who went to the cross and took my sin upon himself before I even asked him to. And I can trust the Holy Spirit, who enters in as a free gift to guide and teach and comfort and, yes, convict. And identity, who am I? I'm a child of the King of Kings. How do you define yourself? Identity controls behavior. Do you understand that you're chosen and adopted and wanted and deeply loved and unconditionally valued? And you're a holy nation and a royal priesthood? And in the New Testament, once you've trusted Christ, you're called a saint, never a sinner again? Who are you? If you have security in Christ, your identity is in Christ, and then your belonging is found in Christ. Who wants me? God does, because of who God is, not because of who I am or what I do. Isn't that amazing? God created us that we would have fellowship with him. When my mom was alive, my brother Dave and I paid for her to have a housekeeper. You all know what she was doing the night before the housekeeper came. She was cleaning her house. She was taking care of clutter. And I would say, Mom, we pay her to come and help you. And then she said, but I can't let her see the house like this. I'm like, oh my gosh. How many of you can relate to that? And I'm so grateful that our relationship with God isn't like that. That because we are secure in his love and our identity is found in him, our belonging is met in him. And we don't have to clean up our act. He cleans up our act when we humble ourselves to him. And then purpose, why am I alive? To put God on display. to make him look good, to love God and let others love him too. Your purpose isn't about your grades or your beauty or what street you live on. It's about Jesus. Amen? And then confidence, what do I do? Well, all things through Christ who strengthens me. If your purpose, belonging, identity, and security are found in God, then your competence is all about God. But we live in a what-can-I-trust world. Security, what can I trust? I'm beautiful. Identity, who am I? I'm beautiful. Belonging, who wants me? The boys are looking. The girls are jealous. I don't care. I've got the boys' attention exactly where I want it. And purpose, why am I alive? To be beautiful. Actually, I'm alive to make sure that you know that I'm beautiful, so I will walk in and throw the pose. And competence, what do I do? Well, I am so cute today. And what happens when your daughter, granddaughter, or student, or you walk into a room and somebody's cuter there? Your daughter wakes up with a bad hair day. Security, what can I trust? I earn A's. Identity, who am I? I've already told you, I earn A's. Belonging, who wants me? Mom and Dad, when I earn A's. Purpose, why am I alive? To make Mom and Dad proud by earning A's. Competence, what do I do? Well, I earn A's until I don't. Security, what can I trust? I live on that street. Identity, who am I? I live on that street. Belonging, who wants me? It falls apart. What I would love to do this morning is unpack it further. Are you ready? Doing all right? We're in church. It probably feels different, but we're in church. I'm so grateful for my parents who raised me in church, even though they didn't know Jesus. And I'm so grateful that Jesus got a hold of me. And I pray seriously this morning that there's something new and fresh here for you. Our security must be placed in the God of the Bible. I don't know if you have your phones with you, but when the slide is finished, please take a picture if you want. Or please write down the verses if you want. I'm going to be going quickly. But who can I trust? You know, Genesis 1:27 says that we were created in God's image. It's amazing. We could have been created in the image of a grasshopper. I think they're disgusting. We were created in the image of God. And if you know that God is good, then being created in his image is a very good thing. But if your children don't know that you believe God is good and here are the reasons God is good, then they don't know that it's good to be created in his image. But we're created in his image. And everybody say created. Say it again. The fact that we have been created is an essential truth for you and your children to understand. Your children were not thrown together. They were created by an intentional God. One of his names is Creator with a capital C. We'll talk more about tonight why it is so critical that our young people today believe that they were created by an intentional God. So Genesis 1:27 is a huge security issue for us. Ephesians 1:7 is one of the verses that says we have been forgiven because of God's grace. We can be secure in Christ because he doesn't throw our sin back in our face. How many of you have come to appreciate that? He chooses to forgive and forget. And he doesn't remind us of our past. We can walk out and live in the future. Philippians 4:19 is a verse you may want to memorize and share with your children. It teaches us that all of our needs are met in Jesus. All of our needs, not all of our wants. Whoa, that'll preach. Don't let your children use the word need when it's really a want. I need. No, you want. I need a Diet Coke. No, you don't. You need a nap. Yeah, that you need. Diet Coke's not going to help you. Identity, who am I? Oh, my goodness, ladies and gentlemen. The reality of Psalm 139:13-14, verses that some women memorize before they even have conceived a child. Psalm 139:13-14, written by David, declares that we have been knit together in our mother's womb, and we're fearfully and wonderfully made, and his works are wonderful. So the next time somebody says, tell me a little bit about yourself, well, I'm wonderful. It's a biblical truth. You're not more wonderful than somebody else, by the way. Don't go there. That would be sinful. But the reality is that we are wonderful. Why don't we live like we're wonderful? In His image, created for Pete's sake. And knit together. And could I remind all of you, or teach you for the very first time, that knitting is a precise skill. The knitter before beginning knows what he's making. The knitter decides which needles to use and what type of yarn and what color of yarn. And the knitter decides whether to make an Afghan sweater, hat, mitten, scarf thing. Otherwise you have a non-thing if you don't decide. Our Creator decides who we are. And there's no mistake, warts and all. I used to think I was too tall. I'm not. By the way, I have a bad back and a bad foot, and I'm seated. If it's an issue, get over that. And these are my good shoes. I didn't leave them in Fort Worth, Texas. They're all my podiatrist allows me to wear. And if you have an issue, talk to him. But I used to think I'm too tall. I'm 6'1". Went home from the elementary school I attended, and I said, Mommy, I don't want to be tall anymore. What am I going to do, cut 6 inches off between the knee and the ankle? No, we have to help our children decide that it's okay to be who they are. In fact, it's better than okay. It's fabulously wonderful. God says so. Oh, man, to raise up a generation who will believe that in the believing of their believing. So I used to say I'm too tall, but that dishonors God's creative intent. I'm tall. 6-year-old boy comes up to me, public school. I always use scripture in a public school. They just don't know it's scripture. It's so much fun. And they'll say to me, that was a really good point. I know. I didn't make it up. You know. But that little boy came up to me when I was finished speaking. And he goes, lady, I don't think you're too tall. I think you're very cool tall. Yes. And what's your story? Identity controls behavior. Do you know who you are? Fearfully and wonderfully made in the image of God. Boy, he's done good for us. Ephesians 2:10 says that we were created in advance to do good work, that we would walk in them. We were created in advance to do good work. When you were knit together in your mother's womb, there were good works planted there. Your children need to know, in the knowing of their knowing, that there are still good works yet to be discovered. How many of you want them discovered soon? You know? So this is why we raise them well. I love to tell young people, your future is in you. Stop looking for it on the billboard. Stop expecting some lyric of a song or some TV sitcom character or some person you're following, your parents don't even know you're following. Don't expect those people to tell you about your tomorrows. The tomorrows are in you. I was a chatty Cathy as a child. Yeah. Yeah. And I'm here today because my parents raised me well. They didn't say, be quiet, shut up, go find something to do. They saw the words in me as a strength to develop, not a problem to eliminate. And that changed everything. When I was about 10, they enrolled me in children's theater and they said, go talk there a while. And that's a true story. That's where I learned how to be on a stage and how to use facial expressions and body language. And by the way, where am I today? On a stage. Yeah. I write books. People pay me to talk. It's so cool. Like, I'm not here for the money, but I'm flying home with some, you know? Because your church is generous, and I'm called to this. To God be the glory. Tomorrow is caused by today. Childhood causes adulthood. The gifts in you. So important. And then we have belonging, who wants me? Colossians 2:10 declares that we are complete in Christ. Relationships complement us, but we are completed as we know more and more of Jesus. So important to teach your children that. I will address that a little bit tonight. And then 1 John 4:9-12, one of the many passages in the Holy Word of God that teach us about the love that He has for us. Make sure that your children know that God's love for them ought to matter more than anyone else's love for them. I love to tell children, or like to tell children, that being alone and being lonely are two different things. It's a work from the devil to say that all of you are lonely when you're alone. It's not true. You don't have to be lonely just because you're alone, because for the believer, we're never alone. And I don't say that flippantly. I'm actually single and more than satisfied. I have a parent ministry, and I've never been a parent. It's so fun. Been to 30 countries in all 50 states, and God has been good, and I'm alone a lot and I'm not lonely. I don't say that egotistically. I say that as a statement of fact because Jesus has completed me. And I don't expect a man to. That's a message today's young people need to know. And I'm good with you praying for the spouse of your kid, but I hope you pray for your kid more. And I pray that you're really careful that you don't say when you marry. Even if the desire of your heart is that they marry because you want to be a grandparent, oh, good heavens, people, this is not about you. Do you like me? I really don't care. No, if you marry, marry well. If you marry, it's a lifetime commitment. If you marry, it is someone of the opposite gender. But to be very careful of the when you marry, when you marry, when you marry, because I have met way too many preteens already, teens and young adults, so stressed that they're disappointing you. Desperate to even find someone to date so that you'll get off their back. And if that's not for you, don't worry. But if it's for you, you heard it, you came to church. Really cool. Purpose, why am I alive? Jeremiah 29:11, the famous passage a lot of you might know that God has plans for us. I think our purpose is to fulfill them. When Jesus created you, when God created you in your mother's womb and he knit you together, he had a plan for your life. And our purpose is to fulfill it. Our purpose is to glorify God by becoming who he intended for us to be. So I'm not too tall. Now, I could be 4'10" and be a public speaker, but it's really cool that I'm 6'1", because you can all see me seated on a stool. I could be down there and you could see me, because God knows what he's doing when he makes us in his love. Oh, it's so important for you and your children to understand. God has plans for you. I wonder what they are. I can't wait until you keep growing to see the gifts that God's going to unwrap for you. It's going to be so. And then John 10:10. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, the truth of the Holy Word is that we have been created to live an abundant life. John 10:10 says that Jesus took our sin upon himself and came to rescue us from our depravity that we would live an abundant life. Say the word abundant. An abundant life, overflowing. What is your heart overflowing with? What is your mind, what is your spirit overflowing with? That we would live an abundant life. And are you living that? If I met you somewhere other than here, would I identify abundance in you? An abundance of joy and hope and faith and love? An abundance of purpose? An abundance of progress? One of the things when I speak to students at Summit and other places, I so enjoy saying that Jesus did not take their sin upon himself that they would have an abundant school experience. How many of you are grateful to know that? Like, we eventually age up out of that. Not learning. Learning is our life. Read Proverbs 4:13. Learning is your life. You'll never, if you're a believer, if you're a God, Christ follower, then learning is your life. But to live an abundant life. Raise your hand if that's relevant for you and don't lie to me. Just kind of curious. Look at that quickly. Living an abundant life? Yeah. And then competence. What do I do well? Romans 6:11 declares that we are dead to sin and alive in Christ. If you're a believer, you're dead to sin. It ought no longer control you or define you. It ought not be the thing that you wake up or go to bed thinking about. But it's not just that we're dead to sin. We're alive in Christ. Amen? Our competence is found not in our ability separate from God's creative intent of that ability. And we can be all things and do all things when we recognize that sin is no longer the controlling factor in our world. Sin nature is real. Temptation is real. But to declare yourself, wait, I'm not going to do that. I'm dead to sin. Ooh, tempted, dead to sin. Oh, shoot, tempted, dead to sin. Alive in Christ. 1 Corinthians 2:16. We have the mind of Christ. So exciting. I don't know how, you know, when you read the scripture, when you read the Bible, you get to know God, right? You get to know God. You get to know the whole of God. God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, such a powerful book. And we also get to know ourselves because we're created in his image. There's like about 50 I am and I have statements about us in the Bible.
And one of those statements is that I have the mind of Christ. Teach your children that. You're not behaving in a way that would indicate to me that you have the mind of Christ. But you made a commitment to Jesus. I know you did, so hello. And then you got to teach them what you mean by that. Who's Jesus? What kind of a mind does Jesus have? We have his mind. So amazing. And then Philippians 4:13. How many of you know that verse? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I love to tell young people, that is not a t-shirt slogan. That is a Bible verse. I can do all things. It does not say that I can be all things. I could not have been a jockey on a horse. I could have prayed every night. Oh, Father God, make me short. I want to be a jockey on a horse. And I wake up tall every day, mad at God. Mad at myself. Mad at my parents for not helping me. You can't be all things. You don't need to be all things. Jesus is all things. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us when we rely on him because he is our everything. Amen? And amen. Now, please understand that there are really hundreds of verses that I could have shared for each of those. When God created us in our mother's womb, he created us to have these needs met. If they're not met in God, they'll be met in unhealthy ways or other healthy ways. They have to be met. Let me show you some practical strategies. I should not have said that. This is practical. Could I have an amen to that? To those of you who are new in the faith or those of you who are exploring, I was a seeker, so grateful for Jesus. God is practical. The Holy Word of God is practical. It is a life letter, love letter that ought to lead us 24/7, 365. It is not a Sunday-only book. I pray you know that. I pray that you're growing in your understanding of the wisdom that's there on the pages. In addition to this practicality, let me show you this. A critical need for security is to discern and develop character. So this is for you, and this is for those of you that are also thinking as parents and grandparents and educators. But this is for you. Our security is found when we can discern other people's character. Are they having a bad day or are they quote-unquote bad? How many of you know the difference between somebody who's good but they have an off day versus somebody who is consistently irresponsible, consistently a liar, consistently egotistical? Teach your children to discern who's for them and who's against them, who's on their side and who's not. Teach them to discern their own character. Were you part of the problem? Now that'll preach in our culture. We have to discern and we have to have the confidence and the humility to say, whoa, I'm at fault. Mom, I'm so sorry for the disrespect that that's on me, Mom. So sorry. Please forgive me. To teach them to discern their character and the character in others and to discern the character of God. Teach them why you trust him. Teach him why you pray. Teach him why you read the Word of God. Do you read this because the pastor says read it? That's a great first motivation. And then do you read it because it is your daily bread? It is your life. Discern and develop character in the self, in others, and in God. Identity, I could speak for hours on this. I believe it's critically important that your children develop a broad identity, that they know all about themselves that they possibly can know, because otherwise, security beautiful, identity beautiful, belonging beautiful, purpose beautiful, competence beautiful. And the day they don't feel beautiful, they lose it all. We cannot afford to have all of our eggs in one basket. You cannot afford to have all of your eggs in one basket. Security, income, identity, income, belonging, I'm popular because I have money, purpose to have money, competence, I have money. Economy tanks, what happens? You lose it all. I pray that doesn't happen. No, to develop a broad identity and positive, children need to know what they cannot do. They need to know their weaknesses, but they really need to know their strengths. Why? Because strengths help us overcome weakness. Don't let your children lead with their weaknesses. Is that preached to anybody? Don't let their weaknesses win. Oh, I can't, I can't, I can't, I can't, I can't. Don't let them lead with their weakness. You teach them who they are so they lead with their strengths. Belonging who wants me. We have got to get better, you guys, at teaching vibrant relationships. Thank you for listening to me today. We have got to get better at teaching our young people the benefit of a vibrant relationship with a person on earth and with Father God. We have young people who think that texting relationships are satisfying. Now, texting relationships are a blessing. Could I have an amen to that? I enjoy texting. I have good friends with that I text with from all over the world. I'm not against it. I've written a book about technology. I'm currently writing another book on the theology of technology. And we're having a really hard time with some of the verbiage because we find ourselves writing things like, the value of good relationships, but then we're like, no, but they think their relationships are good. But the relationships that today's young people have with the people they're following who don't even know them and with the people they're texting are not as satisfying as a vibrant, real relationship. Raise your hand if you know what I mean. Is your relationship with God vibrant? Do they hear you cry out to Him? Do they hear you seek the Word? Do they watch you pore over the Scripture and laugh with joy and weep with sorrow? And do they know that your marriage is rich and that your relationship with your dad is still going strong? Why do you go to Man Up? Because relationships with other men matter to you? Do you teach them vibrant relationships? I am so concerned with how many young people we meet who are satisfied with mediocrity when it comes to people, but they don't know what they don't know. And they need the skill set to pursue more. Please, when it comes to purpose, provide direction so they can serve. Our purpose is to leave the world a better place. Our purpose is to glorify God through our choices, and we do that by serving. We do that by loving. We do that by letting people know that God is greater than we are. So provide them with direction. You know, you're a chatty Cathy. I wonder one day if you'll be a teacher, lawyer, coach, a great husband or wife because you listen and speak so well. To give them direction. Our children today don't know who they are. And we'll talk a bit about that tonight. They're actually multi-talented, multi-passionate, multi-concerned, and multi-interested, and they don't know where to land. And we need to provide them with direction so they can be making wise choices. And then competence, what do I do well? Ladies and gentlemen, we need to model that working hard is excellent unto the Lord. Amen? Proverbs 14:23 is one of my life verses. Proverbs 14:23 declares that all hard work brings a profit, but mere talk leads only to poverty. I have discovered that thinking about the dirty dishes doesn't wash them. Talking about all the homework doesn't do the homework. It's all hard, diligent, persevering labor. But our children have been raised with tools that make everything easy. The click of the mouse and the autocorrect and the reboot. And they can ask Siri, whoa. Teach them to work hard. Teach them to not compare. Comparison is the work of the devil. You're comparing me to every other speaker you've ever heard. I know you are. You're comparing me to Norm. I hope I'm doing all right. Comparison is a fact of life, but it'll rob us of joy and excellence and hope and faith and love. When you empty a child's backpack, and you see, or your homeschool mom, and you talk about how well they're doing, do not ask, how did the other kids do? Who cares? You empty the backpack, and your child earned an A or earned a C. Well, how do the other kids do? As soon as you ask that, you've put them on a continuum, and they don't need to be on one. I get it. I am not shaming you. By the way, you did not know this yesterday, so no shame or blame for yesterday. But if you ask your kids on Monday, how did the other kids do? I hope you laugh out loud and then apologize for comparing them yet again, because it's not healthy. And then please notice that our competence is found in God. Amen? Do you rely on Him? Do they know it? Do you rely on God? And if you're listening with the ears of a grandparent, a parent, educator, do your children know you rely on God? How would they know that? When do you pray? Do you pray? When do you pray? Do you ask them, you know, if you pray in the morning that they would do well in biology, do you ask them at the end of the day, how do you feel you did in biology? If you pray before a child goes to a homeschool co-op that they'll get along today with the kid that was difficult last week, and you come home from work or out of your work office, do you say to your son, hey, how did you get along with that boy that was kind of trouble? Let them know you're relying on God. Let them, oh wait, let's see what God would say about that. You know, we're struggling with relationships. Let's see what, you know, 1 John has a lot to do with that. Get to know the scripture so they know that you rely on it. Because if we don't show them that God matters in the everyday, then they don't take him with him every day. And then they drop out of faith and they drop out of church and they don't become who they could have been. And that would be the tragedy of life. Amen? This, ladies and gentlemen, is what the Lord asked me to share. And I pray that it's been a blessing. Would you just honor the Lord? And this is about God. This is not about me. Would you raise your hand if there's something thought-provoking right now? Just raise your hand if I've provoked thought. Would you raise your hand if there's something you're going to process and think about? Oh, it's so beautiful. Would you raise your hand if there's something, listen closely. Would you please raise your hand if there's something you're going to apply to yourself? Something, oh, praise the Lord. And then would you raise your hand if there's something that you're going to pray through and maybe talk with a child about? Would you raise your hand if there was application to the children that you love? Well, praise the Lord. Pastor, thank you for allowing me to be here today. I have enjoyed your people, and I'm really grateful you allowed me to be here. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thanks.
Thank you, Dr. Cook. Thank you for equipping our church to be Christ-centered. It means a lot. What's God saying to you this morning? I saw some reactions. That's wonderful. We want to take just a moment right now and just petition God with some prayer. So would you please stand with me as we call out to the Lord and ask the Lord to help crystallize in our minds what he's calling us to do in this space and time right now. Dear God, thank you for this morning. Thank you, God, for bringing Dr. Kathy here to teach us, to share her insights. And I just thank you, Lord, that your Holy Spirit is at work in this place. And I praise you, Lord. And I just want to ask you, God, to make it clear for each one of us what you're calling us to do, what step you are inviting us to take, what step you're really leaning on us to incorporate into our lives, Lord. And I just, this can be overwhelming. There's so many things, you know, a grocery list almost that we could write down from, you know, this teaching, and it's so good. Lord, help us to remember that Jesus is perfection, as we were taught today, that perfection has been done. But help us to discover what you have for us in this space and time, and give us courage and give us hope in you and give us strength to follow through. Lord, may you strengthen our families. And I pray all this in the powerful name of Jesus Christ. Amen.